Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. May I ask if I'm audible? Yes, yes. Good, good, good. Vanshakalpataruvaisya kripa sinduvai vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. First, I want to say that I think I know many of those who are on the call. I see our Bhakti Dira Damodar Maharaj, and my heart is dancing in happiness to see you. Wonderful.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. And I see Raja Leela, and somewhere a Kavira will be around in the space. Yes. And I do remember also our host, Krishna Shakti, is your good name? Yes, I remember you. And I saw some other devotees who are well known to me, and I feel very, very, very honored to be here on this intimate call. I mean, intimate in the sense that the disciples of our beloved Bhaktitirtha Maharaj are here, and I'm happy that it is such a, let us say, close community on this call, because that allows me to reveal some things which I might be shy to share with a huge and unknown public. First of all, it is very, very good that you come together as disciples to glorify your exalted spiritual master. There's a quotation in Brihad Bhagavatamrita which says that to be separated from those whom we love is agonizing. It is a great pain which tears at the heart, it pulls at the heart. But when we become mindful of these persons whom we love, then these the pain is overcome, and we feel the closeness and the connection with these people. I feel by this meetings, which we could call Guru Smaranam, remembering our spiritual master. The spiritual master, we keep him with us in the sense that we keep him in our hearts, the most important region of our life. So wonderful to that you keep this on. I'm aware I have been in other such memories or memorials, or where we remember Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, and I'm very happy to be there, because Ye Maharaj did call me his close friend, which I felt very honored with. He spoke of Radhanath Maharaj and myself as his close friends, and perhaps others I'm not aware at the moment. I could see his greatness with my eyes. The first time I did see him was when he came with the Bhaktivedanta library party to Germany. They did something, these devotees, which we were not skillful enough to do, that is to present the sets of Srila Prabhupada's books to the academic community. And you all know better than me how our Maharaj excelled in doing this, and with his warm-hearted, intelligent, and very real personality could convince these academics, who are a difficult group to convince, take all the books which Prabhupada had written, and then take all the books which would come out in the future, even, which were not yet written. So I met him there, and for me, he was an unapproachable star at that time. I mean, the word star here, please forgive my English, is not my mother tongue. So I mean, a distant shining object. He was distant because he came only for a few hours into the temple, mostly to rest, and then go out again. And I did not at that time have any verbal communications, because they were really like, and Maharaji was really like, you could see, he was married to the mission, you know, he was so much into the mission that there was no time to breathe even outside, much less to talk. He was kind, he greeted me, but he was focused on serving Prabhupada's desire to bring the books to the academic community and influence this community so that they would endorse the movement for Krishna consciousness and endorse the subjects, you know, bhakti, holy name, devotion to the Lord, etc. So he did not waste one moment. I met him also in our, how do you say, at that time we said zones. We were the North European zone, which included the German-speaking areas like Austria and Switzerland. I met him in, how do you say in English, in France you say Genève, what is it?
Geneva,
where he used to visit the delegates of the, what do you call them, UN. There is a strong presence, a branch, a sister branch of the UN, and he was even presenting books there. And I remember one morning, I needed, early in the morning, it was perhaps 2 o'clock, I needed to get up from bed to answer nature's small call. And when I came back from the bathroom, I heard someone chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And there was our Maharaj chanting very, very intensely his rounds. And please mark, at that time he either chanted 64 rounds or 32 rounds, a lot of extra rounds, in other words. And he was so, you know, you can hear a person, or you can understand a person by the sound of his voice, isn't it? In the voice, the voice is rich with emotions. A cold-hearted person will have most probably a very distant voice. A more warm-hearted person, you will hear some timbre, some what is it? Some vibration, subtle nuances in his sound and the expression. And you know, he was a man who was calling for Krishna. Really, that was the real thing. I immediately could understand, wow, this is what Krishna consciousness means. Ooh. I was, you know, a mixture of shocked and and of course admired. When we see what we have perhaps overlooked so far, in American slang English, we would say that it really blows our mind. That's how we say in American slang English. So we are hit, we are overwhelmed, we are suddenly awakened from a dream. It was so profound that I did not go back to sleep, which was my initial idea when I went just quickly to the bathroom. I wanted to return to sleep. No, I sat in the corner, not to disturb, and I chanted very softly along with Maharaj, because I understood I wish to have what he has in my own Krishna consciousness. But he was a distant star. Maharaj himself speaks about this time I'm sorry, I have here a note. I have to speed up a little bit. Maharaj speaks about this time that he was very focused on the mission, very focused on accomplishing these goals for Srila Prabhupada. But for his godbrothers, because he was so intense and so realized and so deeply spiritual, he was perhaps a distant star, at least for me. But that all changed when he became aware of this. And he expressed this in his, you could almost call it manifesto of his community spirit, which must be known amongst you. I think you know and treasure these points, but it's nice to share direct words of Maharaj on this point. So I will bring his first point. You know, I think of this a little bit almost like, have you heard about Martin Luther, the great reformer who was, let us say, going against the mispractices or the bad practices of Catholicism at that time, was, his point was, there is a direct connection which everyone can make to God. We don't need priests. We don't need an institution. We can directly communicate to God. And therefore he translated the Bible, which was written in the Latin language, a language which was not known by the farmers and the ordinary folks, but only to the priests and a few scholars. He translated that book into the local languages, you know, and he was, the Catholic Church was really on his case for that. Anyway, so in order to bring his point that we all have a direct connection with God, he wrote his thesis. Thesis means a profound statement on a piece of paper, and he nailed that piece of paper on the main door of the main church in a place called Wittenberg, and everyone saw it. It was a war cry of an individual against a huge institution. So our Maharaji has of course raised his voice many times, and there is this beautiful lecture which he gave in Mayapur. It's something with Prabhupada's house or something. Maybe one of you who knows this, I know if Ananda Vrindavan is here, she could post that link into the chat. It is our Maharaj was so determined to bring an essential message that the whole Mayapur project shook. And so protecting Prabhupada's house, I see. Can you put this up again? Protecting Srila Prabhupada's house. I think you will find it in Ananda Vrindavan. You are intelligent with computer. You can find that link certainly and post the link also and so on. So good. So he has a few, thank you, has some statement about how important it is to not just focus on the mission, how do I express this correctly, to focus on your individual service within the mission, but to also be mindful of the community of devotees. And this became, I believe, one of his amazing contributions to our ISKCON world. I will read his three theses. It's actually four I see here. Treat everyone you encounter as if the success of your spiritual life depends upon the quality of your interactions with them. No? Treat everyone you meet as if the success of your own private, individual, single life is dependent on the quality of the interaction with you, with them. Second, reflect upon the person you love most and aspire to treat everyone with that same quality of love. Boah, that's a masterclass. That's not so easy, as you all know. No? So think of the person you love most. Bring him in your... Be mindful of that person. And then try to extend that love which you feel for that person to everyone. What is it? To everyone. Everyone with that same quality of love. Third, anytime there is a conflict in a relationship, see it as your own fault first. Perhaps you did not extend love or appreciation to that person, and he felt insecure or she felt insecure, and then was not very kind towards you. Maybe see it like this, that you started this ice cold atmosphere in the relationship between the two of you. And fourth, wow, this is another one. Realize that the people in your present environment might very well be the people with whom you will live out your life and who will be with you at the time of death. My dear devotees, I am not so good in lecturing, so and mostly English is my not so good is not my good language. So I have always these preaching these notebooks. They are vast. I have about hundreds of them, you know, where I put the notes for the lecture which I give. And in the beginning of one of these notebooks, you can see next to the important telephone numbers which I need to remember for the different projects, I have this, I was sticking this community of community development words of wisdom. Because I knew Maharaj before as a distant star, but he came so very close to everyone. I have heard in the past how Vraja Leela has shared some of her memories and how accessible Maharaj was. There was a really profound, I would say, and visible change with which those who knew him, or those small people like me who wanted to be close to him, noted. It was really like anything our Maharaj did, or everything our Maharaj did, it came with an, here comes a new English word for you, volcanic intensity. You know, it was really, and perhaps this is something you might ponder about. If I am forced is not the word, but if I'm requested to focus on one quality which I came to admire most in Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, I would say it was his absolute dependence on Srila Prabhupada's mission and on Krishna. And we can learn so much from someone who makes himself and his life dependent on the Lord. And because this is such an important philosophical point, I would like to read to you something from Srila Prabhupada's purport. He comments on a situation. Krishna has just visited Hastinapur. He had been, actually, I must correct myself, he had been with the Pandavas. You know, he was Arjuna's chariot driver. He had helped this Dharma, this huge battle of Kurukshetra, to be won by the Pandavas. He was instrumental that Yudhishthira became the next emperor by bringing him to grandfather Bhishma, who could convince Yudhishthira to take on this this mantle or this responsibility. Because Yudhishthira was struck with sorrow that so many people had found their death in that battle, and he felt guilty for that as the leader of the Pandava party. So that was all done, and Krishna now wanted to go back to Hastinapur. But his chariot rolls out of Hastinapur, Kunti Maharani, the mother of the five Pandavas, steps in front of the chariot and says, "Oh my lord, you have executed so many duties. But are you serious? Are you leaving us today? Though we are completely dependent on your mercy and have no one else to protect us. Now, when all the kings are in enmity with us," you know, there were still some kings left, and they thought, "Oh no, the Pandavas have killed friendly kings," or whatever. "Are you now leaving us?" Krishna is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying, "But you have Bhishma, you have Bhimsen, who's so strong. One arm has the strength of 10,000 elephants. A second arm is also available. 20,000 elephants he has in him. And Arjuna the bowman, and Dharmaraj is there. You can manage your own affairs. You really don't need me. The big thing is done. The battle of Kurukshetra. But Queen Kunti said, no, all my sons, without your presence and your merciful glance on them, like bodies without the soul. Yes, they are talented, but what is a talented person without a soul? He's dead, he's a corpse. So you can't leave us now, my Lord. Now Prabhupada talks now about devotees who have made themselves dependent on Krishna. And I think your Guru Maharaj is a puppet in the hands of Lord Krishna and Prabhupada. And Prabhupada writes, in the material world, to be dependent, if you want to, I will give you the quotation where you can find this. Actually, maybe I should do this now. It's in the first canto, chapter 8, text 37. I repeat, first canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 8, text 37. It's a very important purport. And he opens his purport. He said, the Pandavas are most fortunate because with all their good luck, they were entirely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. In the material world, to be dependent on the mercy of someone else is the utmost sign of misfortune. But in the case of our transcendental relation with the Lord, it is the most fortunate case when we can live completely dependent on Him. I learned this. Our Maharaj had made himself dependent on Krishna, and that is why in the initial phase of his spiritual life he was exclusively surrendering to Krishna and so on. Then Prabhupada also says, it's later in the purport, I jump over many lines, those who try to become falsely independent of the Lord are called anatta. It's not anatta, anatta, without an R. No? Those who try to become falsely independent of the Lord are called anatta, or without any guardian. Whereas those who are completely dependent on the will of the Lord are called sanata, or those having someone to protect them. Therefore, we must try to be sanata so that we can always be protected from the unfavorable condition of material existence. So, how our Vraja Leela ended her presentation with a question. What is your mission? What do you do? I think we always have two missions in life. A personal mission in relationship to Krishna and a mission where to spread Krishna consciousness. Like Mahaprabhu had an internal reason for appearing and a reason in external, here means in relationship to the conditioned souls in the external world. No, he had such a mission also. So what I could see, let us say, the heartbeat of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was total surrender to Krishna. And if you read his beggar, I don't know how many books it is, maybe six or seven, his beggar series of books, you can see how he talks with his two masters, Prabhupada and Krishna in them. And that has always deeply inspired and moved me. Yes. With this, my time is over. Guru Krishna said, has alerted me. So I don't want to take the time, and I'm also expecting guests. It was really a pleasure. Always invite me this Sangha, my dear Prabhus. I feel so enlivened because, yes, when Maharaj was so, when the star came into my, the distant star came into my close vicinity, then I was gifted with so many things, so many good talks we had, private talks, confidential times where I shared in his wisdom and his keen spirit of observation and his highly intelligent analysis of spiritual life and everything. So I'm very gifted. All right, so I should end here. It is now over to Krishna Shakti again. Hare Krishna, Hari Bol.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for your wonderful, wonderful words of wisdom and inspiration from both Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, and your reflections. This has been very beautiful to hear how the heartbeat of Maharaj was total surrender unto the Lord, and just reminding us to make sure that we also have individual goals as well as broader goals, and making sure that we are just trying to surrender in the best that we can.